Good morning, everybody. Shavua Tov. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashem class learning. We will begin with the Tefillah Al HaDibur together. Ribono Sha'olam, Yihi Ratzon Mefanecha, Rachum V'Chanan, Shetizekeni Hayom, U'V'Chol Yom, Lishmar Pi U'Lishonim, Rilashon Har Rechilus. Ve'ezarim L'daber Tefillah Al Yishyachi, V'Kol Shekein HaKol Yisrael, O Chelek Mehem, Kol Shekein Mitzrayim, Amidosef Shal Kosh Baruch Hu, Ve'ezarim L'daber Devrei Shaker, Chanufa Mechlokes, Kaas Gai, Ve'onaz Tvarim, Habanas Panim, Leitzanus. V'Chol Dibur Asir V'Zekein, Shal L'daber Kim Daber HaTzarich, Le'inani Gufi V'Nafshi, Yukol Ma'asai V'Diburai, L'Shem Shamayim, Amen v'amen. We are learning Lilui Nishmaso and the Zecher Nishmaso, Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoav V'chana Lavasham. May the Hashem have a continuous Aliyah Neschus of the Torah learning that we will share. Also as a Neschus Aliyah Neshama for Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya. May the Neshama have a continuous Aliyah Neschus of the Torah that we will share this morning. With Alyssa's generous permission, continued Besuras Tovus and Refuah for Bracha V'gayah Basvachal Getzah V'soch She'archalei Yisrael. So welcome everybody back to Shiar. So, you know, I just find it very interesting because, but you see, even from our learning together, how much of a recurring theme Shmiras HaLashon is in the Chumash and in so many different parashios. It is a theme all the way back from Bereishis with the Nachash, starting from the very beginning. It is a theme that comes up over and over and over again. So this week's parashios, Parashas Baha'aloscha, and Parashas Baha'aloscha, a lot of things happen. The journey is interrupted, and the inverted nuns, the inversion of Jewish destiny. The people are preparing to leave Har Sinai finally, but things go awry. Did I say the word right? Yeah? Okay. But in Perek Yud Beis specifically, we have the sin of Miriam and Lashon Hara. So we have spoken about the Ramban in depth, the Ramban's commentary to Devarim Chof Dalet Tess, if anybody remembers. A number of years ago, we probably could have done it again. We could always use a refresher, but I wanted to prepare a brand new shiur with new sources that we have not looked at, but in this topic, because as it relates to the sin of Miriam. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing, and I did prepare a new shiur with all new sources related to this topic. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing. And what we're first going to do is, here we go. Okay, could you see my screen? Yes, thank you very much. So we are in Sefer Bamidbar Perek Yud Beis. We're just going to go through the pshat of Perek Yud Beis. It's a pretty short perek. There's only 16 psukim long. This is the final perek in Parshas Baaloscha. It comes not by accident, right before Shlach. So Baaloscha is Miriam's Lashon Hara. Shlach is the spy's Lashon Hara. So the Ribono Shel Olam says, you can't even slander the land of Eretz Yisrael. Yud Beis Pasuk Aleph. It's a daber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe. Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe. She initiated the speech, so she is blamed for the speech, and her name goes first. Al odus ha'isha ha'kushis asher lakach, about the news of the Kushis woman that he took, ki isha kushis lakach, for a Kushis woman he took. And they said, did Hashem only speak to Moshe alone? Harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem, halo gam banu diber. Excuse me, who does Moshe think he is? Did God only speak to Moshe? He spoke to us too. Vayishma Hashem, and God heard. And what's Moshe's reaction? Nothing. Vayish Moshe anav ma'od mikol adam asher al pnei ha'adama, Bamidbar 12:3. Moshe was the most humble man from all men upon the face of the earth. So he doesn't take any personal umbrage. However, Hashem takes umbrage from Moshe. Vayom Hashem piso ma'moshe va'aron va'miriam. Hashem says suddenly to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, tzu shlashtacham, come out, the three of you, to the tent of meeting. And they come out, and God descends in the cloud and stands before the entrance to the tent of meeting, and he calls to Aaron and Miriam, and the two of them come out, and he says, hear my words, is there such a Navi? If you have a Navi of God, I appear to him in some sort of vision. I speak to him in a dream. So when it comes to the other Naviim, the level of divine revelation is not so clear. It's either in a dream or some kind of vision. However, lo kain avdi Moshe, not to my servant Moshe, b'chol beisi na'amanu, in all of my house, he is the most faithful. How do I speak to him? Not in a mara, not in a vision, not b'chalom, not in a dream, peh el peh adaber, but mouth to mouth, face to face, speech to speech, so to speak, I speak to him. Umara v'lo b'chidos, in a clear vision, not in riddles, usmuas Hashem yabi, whatever that exactly means, Moshe sees some sort of picture of God. Umadulo yireisim l'daber b'avdi Moshe, why weren't you afraid to speak about my servant, to speak about Moshe? And Hashem became very angry, and he departed. And when the cloud went from the tent to meet meaning that God has departed. Vehine Miriam mitzaras kashalag, and behold, Miriam is smitten. She is stricken with tzaras. This is something that the Torah tells us about in Tazria mitzora in Sefer Vayikra. There are seven causes for tzaras. The most famous one, of course, is the negat tzaras. The most famous one is lashon hara. There's also gasus haruach. There's tzarus ayin. And Aaron turned to Miriam, and behold, she has tzaras. And Aaron is the kohen gadol, and Aaron really is the one who treats the people who have negat tzaras. But in this case, it's his first degree relative. No pun intended. He is no gay bedavar. Get it? She has negat tzaras. He's no gay bedavar. It's really just no pun intended. I didn't even really mean to make it as a joke when I said it. He is no gay bedavar, so he can treat her. So what's going to happen? The kohen has to treat her, but the kohen is his sister. So how is she going to get better? The only way a person gets better from tzaras is by the treatment of the kohen. You don't go to a doctor. You don't take antibiotics. Vayomer Aaron al Moshe. So Aaron says to Moshe, listen, you better pray for her, because if you don't pray for her, she's not going to get better from her tzaras. She's going to have tzaras forever, because I cannot heal her. I can't take her under the process of purification. Please, my master, do not bring upon us a sin that we have been foolish. We have sinned. She should not be like a dead person. A mitzora is considered like a dead person. How do we know that? Because Rashi tells us in Sefer Shemos, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, when it says, Vayhi bayamim harabim ahim vayamas melech mitzrayim ve'enachu b'nei shom min avoda v'atal shavasam elokim min avoda. When it says the king of Egypt died, so Rashi says, lo meis, he did not die, nitztarea, he had tzara'as, haya shochet yinokot v'rechetz b'damam. So we know that to have tzara'as is considered like a dead person. She shouldn't be like a dead person who comes out of the womb of his mother and half his flesh is consumed. So what's Moshe's reaction? Because there's no other way to heal her, because Aaron can't do this process of tzaras for his first degree relative, his sister. So Moshe called out to God and he prayed, Kel na rafanala, very short tefillah, five words, but he prayed for her. And Hashem says to Moshe, if her father would spit in her face, would she not be quarantined for 7 days? She would be quarantined for 7 days. She has to go outside of the camp. Then she can come back in. So she committed a trespass, and just like her father would be angry at her, so too Hashem says there has to be a punishment here. You spoke lashon hara, you slandered, you were remiss, there was a sin, you have to be enclosed. And she was sent out of the camp. We know that a mitzora sits badad yeshev michutz machana moshavo. She is closed off from the camp for 7 days, and the nation did not journey. V'ha'am lo nasa ad he'asef Miriam. Very famously, she waited for Moshe by the reeds of the Nile River, the Nilus, to see what would happen with him. So the people waited for her, and then they journeyed. Okay, this is the end of Perek Yibes, and this is the end of Parshas Baha Aloscha. Our sources today are not actually going to be in Perek Yibes. They are going to be from Sefer Devarim. So now I'm doing a new screen share to go to the handout that I prepared. And it is right here. Okay, let me make it bigger for you, actually. That's the font size that I work in. First of all, can you see the screen? Yes? Okay, very good. So what I'm going to do is just make it bigger so you can see the sources that I prepared easily. Okay, so Bamidbar Perek Yibes we already did. It's the famous sin of Miriam. And again, I want to reiterate how often in our class we'll say, oh, it's Erev this parasha, or it's Motzi this parasha. And so many of the parashos in the Torah focus on this topic, which clearly reiterates to us how very precious and important the Ribbono Shel Olam considers this topic to be. If it wasn't precious and important, it wouldn't make common reoccurrences in the Torah text. Oy vey, what is wrong with me? So you know, last time we spoke about Lo So, we spoke about Ona'as Devarim. So once again, it occurs constantly because Hashem wants to reiterate the importance. Then we move to Sefer Devarim, Parachov Dalim, Psukim Ches through Tes. So these two Psukim are back to back, so then that means there is a connection. So the first Pasuk says, Hishamer benega hatzara'as, be very careful, be on guard from the affliction of tzara'as, Lishmar ma'od, to be very careful, v'la'asos, and to do. What should you do? Kechol asher yoru aschem hakohanim Halavim. Yoru is from the word Torah, Mora, Hora'ah. Everything that the Kohanim, the Levim, instruct you. Once again, it's under the jurisdiction of the Kohanim. Kasher tzivisim tishmu la'asos. Just like they command you, you should be on guard to do. So the first pasuk tells you, you have to be careful when it comes to negot tzara'as. You have to follow all the instructions of the Kohanim when it comes to the habilitation and rehabilitation of the afflicted person. And then the very next pasuk, 24:9, Chaf Dalet Pasuk Tes in Devarim says, Zachar es asher asah Hashem elokecha. Miriam, you should remember what Hashem your God did to Miriam, but derech betzeischem Mitzrayim, on the way when you were going out of Egypt. So clearly we know that there is a connection not only in topics of Torah, but between psukim. When one pasuk follows another pasuk, that means there's a connection. So here you don't have to necessarily dig so deeply. The pshat seems to be pretty clear. What is the connection between Negat Saras? Be very careful. I remember what God did to Miriam. Well, we just began in Perek Yibbeis in Parshas Baha Aloscha, because she spoke to Aaron, she was afflicted, she had to sit outside of the camps. So this Zachar is an ongoing mitzvah. Zachar is Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, Zachar es Asher Asah Lecha Amalek, Zachar es Asher Hashem Elokecha Asah LeMiriam B'derech B'tzeis HaMitzrayim, and is actually one of the zechiros that is said after davening. Amiros la'acharei hatfila, things that are said after davening, and there are sheish zechiros. One is Yitzias Mitzrayim, one is Ma'amad Har Sinai, one is Maisa Amalek, one is remember that our forefathers angered God in the desert, the fifth of six, the sixth is Shabbos, and the fifth is Zachor, Esosher, Sashem, Okechel, and Mirim, Vaderech, Betzeischem, Mitzrayim. The pasuk right in front of you is one of the six constant remembrances. So I am quoting from the Siddur Koran Masorat HaRav commentary of Rav Soloveitchik, and he has a chiddush. He says, what is the remembrance and why is it included in one of the Sheish Zechiros? It's a very interesting chiddush. So the Rav says as follows: remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam. The sixth of the 13 anima means is all the words of the prophet are true. All the words of the prophets are true. Wait, I'm going to get something that was right next to me. Sorry. The sixth animamin is animami ben munishleim, which is called divrei neviim emes, that all the words of the neviim are emes. And the, 1 second. Just says, here we go. And the next of the animamin, the seventh of the animamin is animami ben munishleim, shenevuas Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashem haisa amisis. I believe with perfect faith that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashem was true. Vishuhu haya av leneviim, and he was the father of all prophets, the kolgnin, the fanav, who came before him, ulebaim acharav, and those who come after him. So this is the seventh animamin, that we believe in the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, that it was absolutely true. He is the father of all neviim, from before him and from after him. So Rav Soloveitchik has a very interesting chiddush in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha. Rav Chaim Brisk explained, the Torah emphasizes this point, Zachar Sashah Sashah Melkechel Amirim, Bederach Betzeischem Mitzrayim. Years earlier, out of despair at the Egyptian bondage, Miriam's parents, Amram and Yocheved, had separated so as not to bring more children into this world. Miriam prophesied that her parents would give birth to the Redeemer. They married, and Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Many years later, Moshe separated from his own wife, Parshas Baal Oscha, so as to be constantly ready to receive prophecy. Miriam complained to Aaron. She felt that, like their parents, Moshe was acting improperly. And in fact, when she told her parents to get back together, she did the right thing. They got back together and the Redeemer was born. So here she is remembering that incident from when she was a child, and she feels that Moshe is doing the wrong thing. Both she and Aaron, she said, stayed married with their spouses. They were able to be prophets nonetheless. Hashem punished Miriam with tzara'as. But why? It's very interesting, chiddush. Not just for speaking ill of Moshe, but for having misapprehended his uniqueness as a prophet. She undermined his degree of prophecy. It's not only that she spoke Lashon Hara, but interestingly, she was stricken with tzara'as for undermining his degree of nevuah. Remembering what happened to Miriam, what's highlighted on my screen, Zachar Sasher Sasha Melkechel of Miriam, is essentially a declaration of conviction in Moshe's unique level of prophecy. So he says, one of the reasons that this is a constant mitzvah of Zechira, explained in the name of his grandfather, of Chaim Brisker Zatzal, is because what we're actually remembering is the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, Befeirush, which is why this episode is included as one of the six remembrances, one of the Sheish Zechiros, it actually relates to the animami, that animami bemula shalema shenavuas Moshe Rabbeinu alav Hashem haisa amitis v'shuhu haya av l'nevim l'kormim l'farvul baim acharav. So it's actually maintaining and affirming our belief in the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Miriam undermined the degree of Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, and therefore she was stricken. So this is a chiddush. He's saying it's not just Tam that she spoke Lashon Hara, but that she actually undermined the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, which I thought was very interesting, which is why we have to remember remember it because of one of the 13 animamins. You know, I say by myself, we're so focused on the Bavias HaMashiach, Va'afal Pishias Mameim Koza Chakla B'chom She'avot, what helps us get through the Golos, but there are 12 other ones. And one of the 12 other ones is how great Moshe's prophecy was. It is untouchable. There was no one else like him. Remembering what happened to Miriam really affirms our faith in the belief of Moshe's prophecy. So I thought that was a very interesting chiddush. So what does Rashi have to say on Zachar es asher Zachar es asher asa Hashem el kechel amirim? What does Rashi say? So Rashi says, "Im basa lihi zaher shelo tilaka b'tzaras." If you've come to be on guard, excuse me, you want to be careful not to be stricken with tzaras. Al tesaper lashon hara. Remember, Rashi's telling you, the first pasuk says, be careful from nega tzaras. The next pasuk says, remember what happened to Mira. So Rashi says, if you have come to be on guard, you want to be careful. You want to take precaution not to be stricken, not to be smitten with tzaras. Al tesaper lashon hara. So then you should not speak lashon hara. How will you come to do that? Zachar ha'asui le Miriam. When you remember what happened to Miriam the tzadekis, Miriam the Nevi'ah. She's befeirish called the Nevi'ah. 15:2. Shemos, Atikach Miriam ha Nevi'a achos arnes hatopia. She's befeirish called the Nevi'a. Remember what happened to Miriam. Shadibra ba'achia. She spoke about her brother Veloksa b'negaim, and she was smitten. She was afflicted with negaim. So if you want not to be afflicted with negaim, you too should not speak lashon hara. So now I'm going to quote from the commentary of Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch before we do the other sources on the handout. I'm going to quote from Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch to Sefer Devarim. So he also connects these two psukim. Rav Hirsch, which is something that I learned recently this year that I never saw before, Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch focuses so much on Shorashim and Lashon HaKodesh, and he points out something fascinating. So first, he shamar b'nega ha-tzaras, pasuchas, be very careful from the nega tzaras, lishmar ma'od, but be very on guard, v'la'asos, and to do, what should he do? Anything that the Kohanim, the Levim, instruct you to do when it comes to treating the malady of tzaras. So Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch says, all the social relationships of God's people, the social relationships, even the words they utter, and the thoughts they harbor about one another, are subject to the vigilant judgment of God Most High. I will repeat that, it's worth repeating. All the social relationship of God's people, our social relationships, the words that we utter, and the thoughts we harbor towards one another. Our relationships, our words towards each other, the thoughts we harbor towards one another, are subject to the vigilant judgment of God Most High. And he points out something which I never learned before this year, which I thought was very interesting. We call it nega tzaras. You saw it on my screen in Pasuk Ches. Hishamar b'nega tzaras. The Torah doesn't just refer to this tzaras, but nega. What does the word nega mean? Shomer negia. Nega means to touch. So he says nega tzaras is when a person has been touched by the finger of God. That's not what I say, it's a refreshness. And therefore the finger of God will touch. Nega tzaras is Hashem has touched you, so to speak. And because the Ribbono Shel Olam has touched you with this plague, therefore tzaras appears. And that is a sign of warning. And the finger of God will touch the house, the garment, or the body of anyone who does not treat his brothers with brotherly love. We have seen the whole purpose of Nega'im is to educate the individual to proper social behavior. It is meant to educate us in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. And now, says Rav Hirsch, remember, we're in Kitetze, okay? Devarim Perichav Dal. So they're about to enter into the land of Israel. So Rav Hirsch says, now Israel stands on the threshold of the land. This is the end of the 40 years of desert wandering. We're on the threshold of Eretz Israel. We will develop a national life in the new land. We will be watched over by God. We will be guided by God. Therefore, in the framework of mitzvos, we have principles of social duty. Scripture, the Torah warns the people about the duty to scrupulously observe and carry out the laws of Nagam. So we're about to enter the land and we need to set up a society. And one of the things the Torah is telling us is when you set up a society, you should know that your speech, your thoughts, and your social interaction is all governed by God. And one of the things that God governs is nega tzaras. And if a person is remiss, he will be touched. Nega lingoa. He will be touched by the finger of God with the outbreak of tzaras, which demonstrates that the Ribbono Shel Olam has personally come to touch you for what you have done, and in this case, not in a positive sense. And now he moves to Pasuk Tes, Zachar es Zachar es Asher Asa Shemel Kechel Miriam. Next Pasuk. This is a warning to always remember what happened to Miriam the prophetess back in Bamidbar Perek Yudbeis, our Parsha. She had a private conversation with her brother Aaron concerning their brother Moshe. This conversation was not free of slander and conceit. It was not free of slander. It was not free of conceit. Remember, who does Moshe think he is? Gam banu deber Hashem. Hashem also spoke to us, and we didn't separate with our wives. And for this reason, she was, quote, touched by the finger of God. She was marked. Hashem came. If you only learn this from this class, I think that it's very, very interesting to consider that Nagat Saras is a person who's been touched by the finger of God. She was touched, quote, by the finger of God. She was marked with a nega in the sight of the entire nation. This warning attests for all time to the purely moral meaning of Nega'im laws. The sole purpose of the Nega'im laws is none other than to warn man. So it's a warning. And more, furthermore, to purify us of bad traits and social sins. So today we don't have Negat Saras, but learning the Inyanim of Shmir Saloshen are meant to purify us of our bad traits, are meant to purify us of social sins. In addition, this warning, continuing one more sentence of Rav Hirsch, reminds one of the grave responsibility that one bears for every word that borders on Lashon Hara, the grave responsibility that one bears. For Miriam, her sin was not overlooked by heaven, even though she did not speak with bad intention. It was nevertheless not overlooked by heaven. So Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch says, we're coming, we're standing at the border of the Promised Land, we're about to cross into the new land, we're setting up a society. We must be aware that the society is governed by God's laws and by God's jurisdiction, and not only in regard to monetary manners and business and, mitzvos etzlios ba'aretz, but also in regard to negat saras, which comes from speech. And a person will be touched by the finger of God, and we have to be aware that our social interaction, speech, and even thoughts is governed by the omnipotent God who knows everything. Yodea machshavos b'nei Adam. And what does this have to do with Miriam? She was touched in sight of the entire nation for a private conversation concerning their brother. This teaches us the purely moral meaning of Nega'im laws. The purpose is to warn us, to purify us of our bad traits and social sins. Even she was not overlooked by heaven, even though she did not speak with bad intention. With that, we are going to go back to our screen share. It's in the handout that I made for you right here. Okay, can you see? I switched back, yeah? Okay, so let's go to the Rashbam. So the Rashbam says as follows, okay? Again, we're expanding upon these two psukim. Just look up here again. Actually, I'm going to copy and paste them over here as well so that you know what we're talking about. We put them here, okay? Devarim 24, 8 through 9. So the first pasuk says, Hishamar b'negat saras, lishmarim od v'la asos. The reason I'm going through them again is because Mefarshim are going to be expanding upon these verses. I'm not translating them again. Kachol sher yaru eschem kohanim halavim, kasher tzivisim tishmu la'asos. And then, Zachor is asher asa Hashem al-kechel amirim, b'derech b'tzeischem mitzrayim. So the Rashbam says as follows. Hishamar b'negahat saras, be very careful from negat saras, lishmar ma'od v'lasos, he quotes the pasuk, sha'afilu hu melech ku'uziyah, lo yichabduhu, even if the person who is afflicted is a king, like Uziyah, you should not honor him. In other words, don't give him misplaced honor. A king is not allowed to be moch on the kavod, but in the case of if he is afflicted with negat saras, in that case, you can't give him honor. Ela yisagar shivas hayamim. He has to be sent away. He has to be enclosed for 7 days. V'yishalchuhu v'dad yishiv. So the Rashbam says, lishmar ma'o v'la'asos. The Torah is telling you, it has to be done to anybody, even someone as great as King Uziyah. Don't give him the honor. If he's deserving of saras, he has to still load. So I'll tell you, I'm not, unfortunately, well-versed in Nach, sadly, Slam of Ksuvim more, but in general, in the Nevi'im, I am lacking. So I looked up, when preparing this year, who is King Uziyah? So some of you might know this, and if you do, you're having a review, and if not, you're learning it, like Michal Haaretz learned it when she was preparing for this year. Well, this is from Chabad.org. Okay, I'm just going to make this bigger so you could see as well, but I'm going to read it to you. Okay, so Uziyah himself was a righteous man. He was a pious man. You can see where I'm reading from right here. And he observed religiously all the laws and the commands of the Torah. So he was a good king. This is from the time of Bais Rishon. and he observed religiously all the laws and commandments of the Torah under the proper guidance of the prophets who appeared in his time. So what you're going to see is a number of the Mefarshim talk about Uzziah. It's not only the Rashbam who brings it up, the Perush HaRash, the Rash was a Rishon, the Perush HaRash of Torah also brings up King Uzziah and is going to connect it to Miriam. So let's just understand who Uzziah was. He was a pious man. He observed religiously all the laws and commandments of Torah. So some kings were corrupt. He was not. And he was under the proper guidance of the prophets, the Nevi'im who appeared in his time. Who were the prophets of his time? Yeshaya, Amos, Hosea, and others. So he was a good king, and he listened to the words of the Nevi'im. But at the height of his successful rule, he committed one sin that was unpardonable, and it cost him his name and his throne. Again, this is from Chabad.org. I put the source down here. In a moment of self-glorification and pride, one of the causes of Negat Saras, the Gemara teaches, is not only Lashon Hara, but it's Gasus HaRuach. One of the causes is tsaros ayin, stingy eye. Another is gazel. Another is shvu ashav. Another is gasus haruach, a haughty spirit. In a moment of self-glorification and pride, Uzziah decided to imitate Yerovam II. And what did Uzziah do? He wanted to combine in his own person the supreme political and religious offices. I'm sorry, I'm going to use a modern day expression. You know, the separation of church and state. Excuse me, lahav dalaf alfei of dalas. So Uzziah wanted to combine that. He was the state. He was the king. He wanted to combine church and state. I'm sorry, please forgive me. But it's helpful to understand it in this, using this term. He wanted to be the supreme political ruler, i.e. the king, and the supreme religious ruler, i.e. the Kohen Gadol. He wanted to be high priest as well as king. He did not want separation between church and state. He wanted a combination of church and state. I want to be the king, and he was successful, successful and righteous king. I also want to be the Kohen Gadol. Although the idolatrous Israelites, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, there was a lot of sin, unfortunately, in Avodah Zarah at this time, the idolatrous Israelites permitted the king to ask his high priest. To act as high priest, the pious people of Judea, Yehuda, Malchus Yehuda, refused to accept this violation of Torah. He was a king of Yehuda, and the people were pious. They were exiled after the 10 tribes. Malchus Yisrael was exiled first. The sinful people of Malchus Yisrael allowed the combination of church and state, but the righteous people of Malchus Yehuda did not allow this. They stuck to Torah. Only members of the priestly family of Aaron were permitted to hold this office in the Holy Temple. Uzziah persisted in his demand, and even though the leading scholars and Kohanim tried to dissuade him, it was in vain. Finally, Uzziah forced the issue. He entered the Holy Temple, and over the protest of the Kohen Gadol Azariah, he started to offer incense on the golden altar. The Mizbech HaZahav was the inner altar, Mizbech HaPnimi, also known as Mizbech HaKetores. It was used for offering the daily Ketores spices. Presently, as soon as he came in, he entered and he started to officiate as the Kohen Gadol. Presently, he was smitten with the most terrible of all maladies, Tsaras. And again, one of the causes of Tsaras is not only Lashon Hara, it is Gasus HaRuach. He had to leave Jerusalem at once and live in seclusion. And we know that someone who has Tsaras, Badad Yeshev, that's what happened to Miriam. We're coming out of a whole year of Bidud. And so many people have said to me over the year, you know, Hashem is teaching us a message and a lesson. People have said, and you know, it's something I'm sure we have all thought about. If we don't know how to live together and get along together, so Hashem says, no problem, but Dad Yeshiv. That's exactly what happened to the Metorah. If you don't know how to get along, you can't live with people. Uzziah was stricken with Tsaras. He had to leave Jerusalem at once and live in seclusion. Until his death, the stricken king dwelt in a house near the cemetery. He died 52 years after he ascended the throne of Judea. Uzziah was not buried in the tomb of his ancestors, so even in death, he was banished, in a sense, the king of David's house, for he was a Metzorah. So even in death, he was not allowed to be buried in his ancestral burial ground. He was buried in the royal burial ground, but not with his ancestors in their tomb. His son succeeded him to the throne. So I thought that that was very, very interesting. I was not familiar with that, but you'll see the Rashbam and also the Rash both bring up the story of Uzziah. So why are they telling you that even if you're a king like Uzziah, not only was he a king, he was a righteous king. He listened to the Nevi'im in his time. The Nevi'im were Yeshaya, Amos, and Hosea. So he was a very good king of Yehuda, but in a moment of self-pride and grandeur, he wanted to be the Kohen Gadol, to combine church and state, and he was stricken. So the Rashbam says, even one who is as great as King Uzziah, lo yichabdu, do not give him false honor. If a person is a sinner, even if he's as great as the king, don't give him false honor. Ela yisagar shiva sayamim, he too has to be, whoever it is, even if it's the king, he has to be sent away and he has to dwell in isolation. Continues the Rashbam, k'chol asher yaru aschem, like everything that they instruct you, the Kohanim, the Levim, shaharei tizkar es asher asa Hashem el kechel amir. And behold, you shall remember what Hashem your God did to Miriam on the way coming out of Egypt. What did God do? Sha'afo pisha haisa neviya, even though she was a prophetess, va'achos Moshe, and the sister of Moshe, lo chalkula kavod. So you see the connection between Uzziah and Miriam. Uzziah was a king, and the Rashbam says, befeirush, even someone as great as a king, lo yichabdu, if he has been stricken with the malady of Tiras, in Uzziah's case from Gasus Aruach, and Miriam's case because of Lashon Hara, Uzziah was a king, he was not speared. Miriam was a Neviah, she was a prophetess, she was the sister of Moshe. You can't get better yichus than Miriam. Her father was the Gadol Hador, that the Gemara calls Amram the Gadol Hador. She came in direct line from Yaakov, her mother was Yochaved, she was a Neviah, her brothers were the prince and the Kohen Gadol. Nevertheless, though, Chalkula covered. So how much shomer for a regular person? A regular person who sinned. She was not deserving. They did not apportion her honor. Ela tisagar shivas yamim. She had to be enclosed for 7 days. Why does the pasuk say b'derech b'tzeischem imitzrayim? Look here, this pasuk test. Why does it say, remember what Hashem God did to Miriam on the way going out of Egypt? So we already had one chiddush from Rav Salvechik. He says, b'derech b'tzeischem imitzrayim is meant to remind you, actually it's a different piece that I didn't quote out of the Rav that I saw when I was preparing Shir, that it's from a different sefer. The Gula only happened because of Moshe. The Gula, Mitzrayim, would not have happened with anyone else, as obviously it happened from Hashem. But Moshe was the Shaliach. When we say b'derech b'tzeischem Mitzrayim, it is recollecting how great Moshe is, Moshe's uniqueness, Moshe's oneness. I don't mean the oneness of Hashem, chas v'sham, Moshe's uniqueness as the shaliach of God. So according to the Rav, in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, Zechar Sashar Sashem Akechel Amirim, really relates to Moshe. Remember that only Moshe was the Navi who could take you out of Egypt. Remember that Moshe, his prophecy is unparalleled, and that's why the Sheish Zechiros relates to the Animamins. That's the Rav. But the Rashbam says, why does it say b'derech b'tzeischem Mitzrayim on the way of going out of Egypt? What does it have to do with remembering Miriam? Who cares where it was? I don't know. It could have been anywhere. Why tell me dafka, remember on the way from leaving Egypt, b'derech b'tzeischem Mitzrayim, sha'avo pisha hayu trudim lalechas. I looked up that word. It means preoccupied with the journey. They needed to travel. Even though they were preoccupied with the journey, remember, this is before Shlach. They still think they're going into Eretz Yisrael. This is going to hold them up by 7 days. Ha'am lo nasa ad heyasef Miriam. That's the final psukim of Perek Yud Beis Avalos Ha'ar Parsha. Even though they were preoccupied with the journey and they needed to get going, and Moshe tells Yisro and Balos, in 3 days we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, and now Miriam held them up by another 7 days. Nevertheless, they were preoccupied with the way. They had to stop for her. How much more so for a regular person? So a regular person certainly will be sent out of the camp, and a regular person will certainly hold everyone up, and a regular person is not going to get an exemption if Miriam Hanaviyah Hatzadekes Achos Moshe did not get an exemption. So you should never think that a person is exempt from the laws of Negat Saras, and that, according to the Rashbam, is the juxtaposition of these two psukim. Remember Negat Saras, refers Negat, to be touched by God, she was touched by God in sight of the whole camp, and Zachar, remember what Hashem did to Miriam, even though she was as great in her day as Uzziah in his day. They were both afflicted and stricken because a king doesn't get kavod, a Neviah doesn't get covered, kol shekein sha'ar b'nei adam, how much more so a regular person. Now we go to the Perush HaRosh. The Rosh was the Rishon, Perush HaRosh ala Torah. He is also going to bring up this idea of comparing her to the king. And that's why I felt that it was important, at least for myself. You know, if I'm learning something, and the Mefarshim are talking about Uzziah, I don't know who Uzziah is or why he was stricken with Tzaras. I personally thought that was very, very interesting. I find when I delve into the Nevi'im, first of all, in whatever shir it is, it makes me realize how little of Navi I know, Nabuch, and how fascinating it is, and how much more there is always to learn. Right, if you knew about Uziel, then it wasn't new for you. It was a chazara. Perush Harash. Hishamar b'nei gatzaras lishmar ma'od. You have to be. The Torah is mamish warning you. Be very careful. Be on guard. You have Lavan and Asin here with nei gatzaras. Be very careful. Hishamar and lishmar. Double lashon. Okay. The perush hutzrach the kafol ha'azhara. Do you see that it's a double lashon? Hishamar lishmar ma'od. It's a double lashon. The warning is doubled. Okay. Hishamar b'nei gatzaras. That's what it could just say. Or I could say, Hishamer ma'od b'nei gatzaras. Why does it say, Hishamer b'nei gatzaras? Lishmer ma'od. It's a double lashon. It's really strengthening you to be very, very careful if you want to avoid tzaras. So avoid gasus aruach. And lashon hara. By the way, gasus aruach and lashon hara, I hope you see they're very connected. Even though Uziah's sin was gasus aruach, and the Mefarshim here compare him to Miriam, whose sin was lashon hara. By the way, according to the Netziv and the Ha'emek Davar, I didn't put it on for you, but according to the Netziv and the Ha'emek Davar, on Chumash, her sin was motzi shema. Not lashon hara, he says it was motzi shema. Okay? She took a bad name out on Moshe, and he says that's even more chamor than lashon hara. Okay, so that's according to the Ha'emek Davar and the Netziv. Leperush, hutzrach likfal ha'azhara. It is a double warning. Lefisha maka hazos mishtalachas b'chol adam. You should know that this maka of tzaras can be sent to any person. So one warning is for regular people, telling you, regular people will be stricken if they violate these sins, whether it is gasus aruch like Uziah, or lashon hara like Miriam, or according to the Ha'emek Davar, it is motzi shema. Someone who violates these sins will be stricken. Lishmar ma'od, it doesn't matter how great you are. You could be as great as the king or as great as a prophetess. You will be stricken. Afilu b'malachim, even in kings, kida ashkachin gabei Uziah melech Yehuda. Like we learn by Uziah, the king of Judah. Judah was Yehuda. Malchus Judah was a righteous territory, and they did not want combining of church and state. And Uziah was a good king, but nevertheless, he was stricken. Shenitzdareya, he was stricken with tzaras. Hashem didn't spare him. Ubusha gedola hi lo. It was a terribly grave embarrassment for him. And I say when we talk about tzaras that we don't have it anymore today. I think if we, on the one hand, it's a bracha, but on the other hand, if we had it, perhaps we would all be more cognizant of the words that emanate from our mouths, because who wants to walk around? You know, if we start to imagine that the tzaras are splotches from the finger of God, refers to as nega, you're literally touched by God. It doesn't just mean affliction, lingoa. Hashem touched you, so you don't want to walk around with that all over you. Ubusha gedola hilo. It was a very big busha. It was a tremendous embarrassment. Lakach tzarich lomer da afilu hamelech she tzarich l'archiko v'la'asoso k'chol sheyaru hakohanim eschem. And therefore, the Torah has a double warning. One warning is for the regular people, but the other warning comes to teach you that even if someone as great as the king, you need to put him far away, and you need to do whatever the instruction of the kohanim is. He doesn't get an exemption. Kidichtiv, like the Pasuk says in Tazriah and Metzorah, Vuhuva al HaKohanim, O al HaChanri Banava Kohanim, when he sins, he has to be brought to the Kohen for the process of rectification and purification. The Lakein Samach HaKohanim, it makes me wonder about Uziah. Again, I don't know, but the fact that he lived for 52, he died 52 years after he ascended the throne, and he lived in seclusion for the whole rest of his life, and he couldn't even be buried in the ancestral tomb. Was he never healed from his tzaras, Uziah? I don't know. It's just that's what it sounds like. Okay, the kain samach lekan. Oh, and that's why says Rashi puts zachar is asher asa Hashem kechel mirim. Listen, think about this. Why isn't zachar is asher asa Hashem kechel mirim b'derech b'tzeischem mitzrayim the last pasuk of Perek Yud Beis of Baaloscha? It's a good kasha. The incident happened in Baaloscha. It's the beginning of the 40 years of the desert wandering. They haven't even done Parsha Shlach yet. At this point, they still think they're going into Eretz Yisrael. Parsha Shlach comes, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, begins Parsha Shlach. So why isn't this Pasuk the Zechiras Miriam? I mean, it could still be a Sheish Zechiro, and it could still be, according to the Rav, the name of Zechayim Brisker, related to the Ani Mamin of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is it put after Hishamar B'negat Tzaras Lishmar Ma'od? Kol Chol Asher Yaru Aschem HaKohanim HaLeviim. It should be there. It's here to tell you, Shahi Achos Melech, but Achos Kohen Gadol, after gives you a double warning of Kmei Gatzaras. Rav Hirsch says it's here because, remember what Rav Hirsch said, they're on the borders of the Promised Land, they're about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, and they have to know that the society that they will set up is governed entirely, but remember, at the end of the 40 years is when they're going to set up their society. So Hashem says, oh, you're going to set up your society. One of the things you have to remember is Kmei Gatzaras. Since I'm reminding you about Kmei Gatzaras, remember about Miriam. God governs our interaction socially, our speech, and our thoughts, and there will be ramifications. But the Rosh says, immediately after we're warned about Negatzaras, which comes from Gassus Aruach, Tsarus Ayin, Geza, Lashon Hara, the Torah says, remember Miriam. Why? Shehi Achos Melech. Okay, she wasn't a king. He doesn't call her a Neviah. Just like Uzi was a king, she was the sister of a king. The Achos Kohen Gadol, she was the sister of a Kohen Gadol. You cannot get better Yichus than Miriam. But Afilu Hachi, even so, Hirchikua Vihiskua. She had to be put far away in Bidud. She had to be put away and isolated, and she was closed off. So it doesn't matter who the person is. You could be as great as Uzziah. You could be great as a Neviah. You could be the sister of the king and the sister of the Kohen Gadol. Hishamar Benegatras Lishmar Ma'od. No matter how much Yichus and prestige a person has, if they are over in the sins of Shmiras HaLashon or Gassus Aruch, like Uzziah and Miriam, they will be stricken. And the Torah publicizes the sins of these great, very great individuals. Uzziah was a tzaddik king, and Miriam was a tzaddikess, and yet the Torah feels it's so important for us to learn from them that it publicizes, not hides, their sin. So you could say, well, the Torah speaking Lashon Hara about Miriam, and the Neviim are speaking Lashon Hara about Uzziah. Maybe so, but nevertheless, that's how important the Torah feels it is for us to be aware of these sins. That's not my own pshat, that's the Ramban to Devarim 24:9 that we learned a number of years ago, and today I wanted to teach new things, not what we already learned, even though I don't know who would really remember the Ramban, but I wanted to teach new. Rabbeinu Bechaya, and I want to make sure to finish Rabbeinu Bechaya with you. So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Zachor Eis Asher Asa Hashem El Kechel LaMiriam. Now remember what Hashem, your God, did to Miriam. Zo Mitzvas Asei. He says, Befeirush, Zo Mitzvas Asei, I want to underline this for you, Al Inyan Lashon Hara. So some say it undermined the Gedula of Moshe, and some say it's related to the fact that she had great prestige, the Rosh and the Rashbam. The Rebbeinu Bechaya says, Befeirush, listen, this is a mitzvah asay to remember what? Inyan Lashon Hara. Yomar, Shenizkar Lashon Hara Shel Miriam. We have to remember the Lashon Hara of Miriam, the Ha'onesh, and not only remember her Lashon Hara, you have to remember her punishment. She'irala, what happened to her? Al Shedibra B'Moshe. She spoke about Moshe. V'chal Allah onesh hatzaras, and she was afflicted and stricken with the punishment of Saras. Yeah, 1 second. I'm running out of time. Very nice. Saras, the letters are atzeras. Stop and think before you speak. Very nice. If you want to avoid saras, so scramble the letters and you get atzeras. Atzeras means to stop, like a stop sign. Very, very nice, Pa. Atzeras means to stop. You should stop and think. Very nice. Okay. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya continues. Ve'im kein hakasuv ashar al lashon hara. And therefore, this section in the Torah is really a warning about lashon hara. Ve'hu lav haba miklal asei. And it's a lav lo tasei that comes from an asei. What is he talking about? There's an asei to remember Miriam. Zachor is the sher sasha mekechel Miriam. There's an asei. Remember, you shall do. You shall remember. And from this asay, we learn a lo tasay. What's the lo tasay we could derive from here? Do not speak Lashon Hara. That's what according to Rabbeinu Bechaya. This whole zechira is a remembrance of her Lashon Hara. When you remember mitzvahs asay, what happened to Miriam, you will come to not be transgressed the law. You shall not do. Going back to the Rabbeinu Bechaya, where I missed it, where am I? V'hu lav haba mikla asay. V'yesh lanu lamad b'zeh kal v'chomer. We have to learn from your Kal V'chomer, a very powerful Rabbeinu Bechaya. It's all very powerful. It's all Torah. It's all MS. The Godel Ha'onesh Sheyesh L'Mesapri Lashon Hara. You have to learn from your Kal V'chomer how great is the punishment to he who speaks Lashon Hara. I Miriam Hatzadekes Hanaviyah. Miriam was a tzaddikess, a righteous woman. She was a Neviyah, a prophetess. Shelo Dibra Ela Bachi. She only spoke about her own brother. V'haisa Gedola Mimenu. she was older than him, v'gadla also, and she raised him, u'masra nafsha alaf be'inyan ha'ira, she was moser nefesh, she was a Jewish girl walking by the riverbank, she could have been killed, she could have been drowned, it was a shas hashmat, they weren't interested in treating the Jews kindly, she was older than him, she raised him, she was totally moser nefesh by the inyan of the yar, v'dibur shalo b'fanav, and she spoke not even in front of him, so as not to embarrass him, she spoke to Aaron, Na'aseh onesh gadol. Nevertheless, her punishment was very great. Adibur kazeh, over this speech. Veloho ilala kol zichuyasa min ha'onesh. And all her zchusim. Telling her parents to get back together, it was good advice. Standing by the reed, v'titzaseh v'achotza merachok, v'da ma'yaselo. Ha'elchi v'karasa lech me'nekas min ha'ivrios, bringing Yochaved to nurse the baby, leading the woman, 1520, I quoted the pasuk before, across the sea and shinging shiur with them, 1521, the be'er in her merit in the desert, none of her schosim helped her. None of them saved her from punishment. The gam ha'dibur sha'dibra, lo haya lashon ar mamish, and what she spoke was not even lashon ar mamish. What was it? Ela sha'as, Sha'asato shava l'shar nevim. She just said Moshe is equal to all the other nevim. It wasn't even so much mamash lashanar. All she said was, you know, he is shava, he is equal. She made him shava to the other nevim. And yet she was punished so stringently. Kal v'chomer nisha'ar b'nei adam shemisaprin halashanar mamash. How much more so to all other people who speak Lashon Hara Mamish, al ha-gedolim mehem, people who are greater than them, u-bufneihem, and in front of them. By the way, we are talking about ba'apai talesa, in the presence of three, and is it really a pass to speak freely? So this relates to a lot of what we have been learning. How much more so to someone who speaks about those who are greater than them, and who speaks in public and embarrasses them, u-bufneihem, and in front of them, she-yispayeshu, they're going to be so embarrassed, she-anasham kafal u-mechufar, their punishment's going to be even worse than Miriam, their punishment will be doubled and even more doubled. Umipneza, and because this, I have to finish this, Rabbeinu Bechai, it's very powerful. Umipneza, Asra Torah, Chavras HaKasilim. Whoo! And because of this, the Torah says, just stay away from the Chavra of fools. Do not associate with foolish people. V'yoshve karanos. Don't sit with the people who sit on the street corners. Shehei medabrim dvarim b'teilim. Because they only speak about wasted words. The people who are fools, the people who sit on the street corners, don't sit with them. Look what happened to Miriam. And she was a tzadekis and a neviah. And she was Moshe and nefesh. And she didn't even embarrass Moshe in public. And look what happened to her. And look what happened to Uzziah the king. And look how great he was. Why is it a double lashon, says the Rosh? One is for the regular people and one is for the gedolim. Even the king won't be spared. So you shouldn't sit with the Chavra Kesilim, the congregation of fools, and the Yoshvei Karanos, and the people in the street corners, Shehei Medabrim Dvarim Betelim, because they just speak wasted words. Ke'inyan Shekasov, like the Pasuk says in Kohalas, the Kol Kesil Berav Dvarim, the voice of the fool can be heard through many words. Umitoch Osan Dvarim Betelim, and from those wasted words. So what's wrong? You could say, so I'm going to sit with the fools, I'll sit with the people at the street corner. We're just shooting the breeze. We're just talking about wasted words. We're not talking Lashon Hara. Be very careful. You want to know how you come to talk Lashon Hara? Umitoch osan dvarim betelim. From those wasted words, yavo'u l'saper Lashon Hara mehamonam. It's not possible that you sit with the fools and the people in the street corner and you're not going to start to talk Lashon Hara about regular people. Look at that passerby and look at this passerby and haha, look at that one and look at this one. You're going to sit in the street corner. You're going to start to talk Lashon Hara about regular people. And then it's going to go snowball. Umitoch shemisaper min hahamon. And once you start talking about the Hamon Am, regular people, Yavo'u l'saper mina tzadikim. You're going to come then to talk about who? Tzadikim. So you're going to go from the level of talking about regular people to talking about the righteous. Ke'inyan shakasov, like the Pasuk says in Tehillim. I put the Pasuk down here. Lamed Aleph Yotes in Tehillim. Let lying lips be stilled that speak haughtily against the righteous. Te'alamna sifse shaker hadovros al tzadik. You're going to go from speaking about the Hamonam to speaking about the Tzaddik, Umitochkach, and from there, I'm not going to have time for my last source, and from there, Yavol the Saper Min of Nevi'im. You're going to start to talk about the Nevi'im. So it's an ascending ladder. First, you're going to talk about the Hamonam as you sit on the street corner. Then you're going to talk about the Tzaddikim. Then you're going to start to talk about the Nevi'im, quoting a Pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. And then finally, after you start to talk about the Nevi'im, Umitochkach Yidabru Bakosh Baruch Hu. Ultimately, they're going to start talking slander, kaviyachos, if such a thing were possible, like the Nachash, about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenamar, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, Shatu b'shamayim pihem. Their mouths strut. They set their mouths against the heaven. Their tongue, ulushonim tihalech baruch. We spoke about this pasuk from the Gemara in Erechim before. Shatu b'shamayim pihem. They set their mouths against the heaven. Ulushonim tihalech baruch. Their tongues range over the earth. So the Rabbeinu Bechai says, mi garam lehem shashatu b'shamayim pihem. Who caused that their tongues are against the heaven, meaning God? Lushonim shetihalech baruch. It's beautiful. And to the Rabbeinu Bechai, he's saying as follows. They set their mouths against heaven. Look at my footnote, please. Shatu b'shamayim pihem. They set their mouths against heaven. That means they're speaking Lashon Hara about Hashem, as if such a thing were possible. Ulishonam tihalech baretz. Their tongues walk on the earth. How do they come to talk Lashon Hara about Hashem? Because their tongues were first walking upon the earth. So this pasuk proves, ulishonam tihalech baretz. If you let your tongue roam around, speaking negatively about other people, you're going to come to talk about God's Nevi'im. And once you come to talk about the Hamonam, you don't see the Tzelem Elokim. And then you come to talk about the Nevi'im. You don't recognize the word of God. Miriam spoke about the Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. And finally, Shatu B'Shamayim Pihem, a person will come to speak Lashon Hara, Kaviyach, as if such a thing were possible, just like the Nachash, who spoke Lashon Hara about the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, again, I was able, Baruch Hashem, Masiyata D'Shmaya, I didn't want to do the Ramban again, to prepare a new shir with new sources, but you see how gravely the Torah views the sin of Miriam, and yes, she was a Nevi, and yes, she was Moser Nefesh, and yes, she couldn't get better Yichus, and yes, her brother was a king, and yes, she was a Navi, and nevertheless, and the Torah tells us this story on purpose. It wants us to focus. Not only that, but in Devarim it says, you know what? Remember this every single day. Isn't it an embarrassment to Miriam? Aren't I embarrassing her more? Says the Ramban, Devarim 24:9. Maybe, but that's how important the Torah considers nega tzara'as. A person is touched, nega, lingoa, by the finger of God with tzara'as. But I like what Paula said. If you scramble the words of tzara'as, it comes out to atzeres. If we would just stop and think. Because even Uzziah was banished, and even Miriam was banished, kal v'chomer, to a regular person, Rachmana Litzlan, who will be banished for the sins of Gasus Aruch and the sin of Lashon Hara. It's a lot to think about as we go into the week. Is it Lashon Hara to talk about Miriam's sin? Maybe, says the Ramban, but if we wouldn't talk about it, how would we learn from it? The Torah is a book of instruction. Torah, Hora'a, Mora'a, Kimitzian Teitzor Torah. The word Torah means instruction. It's a book of instruction, not a book of stories. And the Baruch Hu wants to guide our lives. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we should have the Siyata D'Shmaya, the humility to counteract the Gashos HaRuach on Lashon Hara, to be misakin these sins and to be misakin our sins. Perhaps through positive speech, we will be zocha to the B'ez Kol Tzedek. Thank you so much to Alyssa and family for sponsoring the shir. Thank you all for joining me. I wish everybody a week of Besuros Tovos. Kol Tov. Thank you all.